Take your Bible this morning, go to John chapter 10, the Gospel of John chapter number 10. We'll look at a few verses right at the beginning of this chapter and then a few others a little bit later on in the text. John chapter 10, these are the words of the Lord Jesus primarily in this chapter. Look at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Look down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The relationship between a shepherd and his sheep is a beautiful picture of the relationship that Christ has with his children. Mike Jeffley grew up in a small town called Ontario, Wisconsin. Mike was not particularly religious growing up. His mom and dad would have claimed to be Lutheran, but they rarely went. Maybe on Christmas or Easter, they would go to a service. Mike grew up on a farm, worked hard, played some sports, and got really good at wrestling. In fact, he excelled by the time he was a sophomore in high school in the sport of wrestling. He was encouraged by his coaches to attend a wrestling camp during his summer between his sophomore and junior year in high school, and so he did. At that camp, Mike was introduced to the gospel, and he heard the plan of salvation for the very first time. And Mike Jeffley trusted Christ as his Savior. When he returned home to the farm in Ontario, this little town of 300 people, Mike searched for a church that preached the Bible, that would begin to explain more to him about this Christian life that he was now a part of, but there were no churches in that area that even opened a Bible on Sunday morning. Finally, Mike found a church about 30 miles away in a town called Sparta. He began to drive there as a teenager to attend youth activities and church services as often as he possibly could. His parents were not real excited about it, but they allowed him to go. He got involved in the youth group there, got involved in the church, and by the time he graduated from high school, he had determined that God wanted him to go to a Christian college and get a foundation for his life and figure out what God wanted him to do. He enrolled in a Christian college, and during that first semester, God called Mike to the ministry. By the time he finished college, he had determined that the will of God for him was to go back to Ontario, Wisconsin, this little town of just 300 people, and plant a church. His goal was to at least reach his mom and dad, his brothers and sisters, his neighbors, his friends that he had grown up with for Christ. He went back and he planted the Faith Baptist Church. He wasn't there but a few months and called me one day and said, Brother Getch, I heard you preach in college and it'd be wonderful if you could come to our church and preach a revival meeting. Well, we gladly accepted that invitation, and a few months later we found ourselves at the Faith Baptist Church. It was not a church building. It was a three-story house on the edge of town that they had purchased. It cleaned out the bottom floor and made an auditorium. The upstairs bedrooms were now classrooms and nurseries. We sat down there after getting parked in the yard there. I had my family with me. John was 8 years old. Melinda was 5. And we pulled in there, got settled, and went inside that little building and sat down with Pastor Jeff Lee. And he began to go over kind of the plan for the week. He said, "Now, Brother Getch, we're not a very big church." He said, "We have about 20 folks that come regularly, and they can't pay me anything yet." And so my dad, his dad was not saved, he said, "My dad gave me 100 acres of his farm." And he said, "There's a house on that property, and I'm trying to fix it up and live in it." And he said, "I'm raising sheep. That's how I'm making my living, raising sheep." He said, "I really want you to come and see my sheep." Well, I was raised on a farm. We had cows, we had pigs, we had chickens, we had ducks, we had dogs, we had cats, we had sheep. And I had seen all the sheep I ever cared to see. Sheep are the dumbest animal that God created. They are sort of just sheep. And so I said, okay. The subject was dropped. We went to bed. The next morning came in and enjoyed Sunday school, teaching the folks there and morning service. And afterwards, they had a little carry-in dinner, and we enjoyed that with the church family. And afterwards, as people began to leave, Pastor Jeff Lee came over to the table where my wife and my kids and I were seated. And he said, "You're coming over, right?" I said, "Coming over?" He said, "Yeah, to see the sheep." I said, "Pastor, it's Sunday. I mean, Sunday afternoon is good for one thing, taking a nap." I said, "Pastor, it's Sunday. I don't think we come today." He said, "Oh, you got to come today." He said, "It's a beautiful day, and I want you to see my sheep." And he looked at my kids. John's 8, Melinda's 5. He said, "You want to see the sheep, don't you?" And they're like, "Yeah." I said, "Well, Pastor, we better change clothes first. I was raised on a farm. I understand these things." I said, "We're in our Sunday clothes. We better change clothes first." He said, "Okay, you go change clothes." He said, "I'll run my family home. I'll be back in 10 minutes to pick you up." Well, we went out to our trailer, and we changed into some casual attire. And sure enough, 10 minutes later, he came bounding back into that gravel parking lot in his pickup truck. Now, I'm talking about a rusted-out old pickup truck with one seat. And he and I and my wife and my two kids crammed in the front of that old pickup truck. We went out of the parking lot, turned left on a dirt road that had potholes the size of the Antelope Valley. I mean, I am bouncing around in the front of that truck. I'm hitting my head on the roof. I'm bumping into the pasture, my kids, and I'm in a bad mood. I'm missing my nap. I'm crammed in this old pickup truck. And I'm going to see dumb animals. We went down that road about a mile. We turned left into a driveway, and as soon as we did, my attitude changed. To the left of the driveway was the house. It needed paint. It needed some care. The inside actually was quite nice. He had fixed it up for his family, but the outside was still in somewhat of a dilapidated state. But to the right of that driveway was a pasture. It probably covered about 50 acres. Lush green grass went up a hillside to a tree line at the top. And dotting that beautiful green pasture were these 100 sheep that Pastor Jeff Lee was raising. It was beautiful. It was peaceful. It was just a relaxing scene. We got out of the truck. We walked up to the fence line, and Pastor Jeff Lee began to talk about what it was like to raise these sheep, and very much like pastoring the people that God was giving him in the church. As he talked, he stopped and he said, "Would you like to see the sheep up close?" "Sure." He cupped his hands like this around his mouth, and he yelled up the side of that hill, "Come, sheep!" I thought, well, now that's original. I mean, some people can at least whistle or something. But as soon as he said those two words, every one of those sheep lifted their head in unison and looked at the pastor and began to run to where we were standing. It was amazing. Now these 100 sheep are milling around, and the pastor is refilling their feed troughs and refreshing their water, and he's talking about them, and they're milling about. After a while, they began to drift back up into the pasture, and he and my family, we went into the house, and we had some fellowship with his family for a couple of hours. About 4 o'clock, I said, you know, Pastor, we better get back over to the church, get ready for the service tonight. And so we stepped out onto the porch of that house, and now dotting that hillside were these 100 sheep peacefully grazing once again. We were saying our goodbyes, and my daughter, Melinda, 5 years old, she looked at me and she said, Dad, do you think I could call the sheep? I said, well, I don't know. Maybe the pastor doesn't want them to come right now. She looked at Pastor Jeff Lee with those big brown eyes, and he said, sure, call them. So she looked at me, and I nodded, and she stepped forward on that porch. She cupped her tiny little 5-year-old hands around her mouth, and in her squeaky little voice, she yelled up that hillside, come, sheep. And nothing happened. And she was really disappointed. She looked at her big brother, John. He's 8. She said, John, you call him. Well, John looked at the pastor and I. We nodded. And John stepped forward. He cupped his hands around his mouth. And with a much huskier voice, he yelled those same 2 words. Come, sheep. Nothing happened. Now, they were both frustrated. They said, Dad, you call him. You know how to do it. You were raised on a farm. Okay. Step forward. I had memorized the line. I cupped my hands, and with every bit of an imitation of the pastor's voice, I yelled up that hillside, come, sheep! One old ram lifted his head, looked at me. You could read his mind. Stupid tourists. We finally coaxed the pastor to call them, and as soon as he did, they all came running. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I want you to notice 3 very important aspects of this relationship between the shepherd and the sheep in verse 27. Notice first a recognition. In verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, this is a distinct voice. We live in a world where there are lots of voices. And those voices at times are almost hard to distinguish because there are so many of them constantly calling to us. Some of these voices are very loud. Some are very persuasive. Some are very charming. Some are quite promising. But do you know the shepherd's voice? Are you able to distinguish the voice of your shepherd from the voice of a stranger? This is a distinct voice. When Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount, when he finished, they said, this man speaketh as one who has authority and not as the scribes. When Jesus would preach, they'd say, never man spake like this man. This was a distinct voice. When you hear his voice, your response is much like Saul of Tarsus on that road to Damascus, who stopped at the hearing of that voice and said, who art thou, Lord? It is a distinct voice. but it is also a devoted voice. This is not the voice of someone with his own agenda. This is not the voice of someone who's simply trying to build his own empire. Look at verse number 25, if you will, in this chapter. The Bible says, Jesus answering them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Jesus did not come to do works that would glorify him or that would build him. He came to do his Father's will, and his Father's will was for him to come and to seek and to save that which was lost. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Christ pleased not himself. This was a distinct voice. It was a devoted voice, but notice also it was a divine voice. In verse 30, he says, I and my Father are one. This is no human shepherd whose resources will run out in a time of trouble. This is not a shepherd whose power becomes incapable against certain obstacle. This is not a human shepherd who rises and falls with all of the other human authorities in this world. No, this is the voice of the one who said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, which was, and which is to come. This is a distinct voice. This is a devoted voice. This is a divine voice. Do you know that voice? Or are our ears so clouded with the voices we're in tune to of this world that we no longer recognize that still small voice of God? A recognition. My sheep hear my voice. But notice, secondly, a relationship. And I know them. I know them. You know what was amazing that day on the Jeffley farm? Those sheep, as they milled around, Brother Jeffley would point at one and he would say, now that one right there, she had twins this year. And one of them almost died. Had to take it in the house. Had to keep it in the house for 3 weeks to get it back to health. Oh, there it is right now. There's one of the lambs, and there's the other one. As he would point at those three different sheep, they all looked alike to me. I mean, a sheep's a sheep. You look at a cow, they have different markings. They have different colors, whatever. But a sheep is a sheep. I mean, they have four legs. They have a head. They have ears, nose, mouth. Eyes, they have wool, it's all the same color. Sheep are just all the same, not to the shepherd. But Jeffley pointed at one, he said, see that one? That was a stray. Just walked on our property one day. I put up notices at the post office. I put them up in the grocery store that we found this sheep. It just walked on our property. I tried to find the owner. Nobody claimed her, so I took her in. He had a story about every one of those sheep. Why? Because the shepherd has a relationship with the sheep. God knows his sheep. And this is a singular relationship. My sheep hear my voice. God is not an add-on to everything else we need or want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's not a last resort. He's not a first resort. He's our only resort. We are complete in him. He is our all and in all. This is a singular relationship. But notice, it is a sacrificial relationship. Go back in our chapter to verse number 11. And here Jesus speaks and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life
for the sheep.
Oh, there's a lot of voices. There's going to be a lot of voices this summer. They're going to try to get us to follow them. But this is the shepherd who laid down his life for us. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. He died for us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. A singular relationship, a sacrificial relationship, and it is a secure relationship. In verse 28, he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Listen, relationships in this life are fragile. They are fickle. They are sometimes fatal. Friendships end. Marriages end. Partnerships end. But not this relationship with the shepherd. It's eternal. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Recognition, my sheep hear my voice. A relationship, and I know them. But then we see a responsibility, and they follow me. Notice a keen awareness here. Go back to verse 4. We read it in our opening text. But in verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he, the shepherd, goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Who are you following? Why didn't those sheep on the Jeffley farm respond to my daughter's voice? Why didn't they obey my son's voice to come? Why didn't they respond to my voice? The sheep only respond to one voice. All other voices are strangers. There is a keen awareness that they belong to the shepherd. They only follow him. And this is a key authenticity. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus did not say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I wish they'd follow me. He didn't say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they should follow me. No, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, some simple deduction there would indicate that if you're not following, you're not a sheep. Because my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So if you're not following, not sheep. I hear people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church. Oh, really? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, I am a Christian, but I don't think you have to get baptized. Oh, really? Repent and be baptized, every one of you? Well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in this soul-winning stuff. Oh? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We say, I'm a sheep. Are you following? Because that's the key, authenticity. You say, Brother Gash, that's a little harsh. That's a little judgmental. Say someone's not saved just because they're not obeying the shepherd. Well, how about 1 John 2, verse 3? Hereby we do know that we know him. Now, 1 John is a book of assurance. It tells us how we can know we're saved. There's 13 evidences of salvation in 1 John. Here's one of them. Hereby we do know that we know him. Here's how we know we're saved. If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, you go ahead and exegete that for whatever you want to do with it. But it says, in plain, common sense English, that if you are not obeying God, you are not a sheep. You're a liar. The truth is not in you. I was preaching in Plainfield, Illinois, a western suburb of Chicago. It was an old building. In fact, it was a historical monument in the city. Outside, it was a white clapboard building with a steeple, the bell, the whole nine yards. It looked like one of those things you'd put on a calendar. Inside, it was beautiful, beautiful architecture. It had a balcony in the back, but they didn't use it. There was nothing up there. There were no seats. There was nothing up there. It was just empty. They had it roped off at the bottom. You weren't allowed to go up there. In the main auditorium underneath the balcony, there were some tables. There were some bookshelves. Looked like maybe it had been the church library or maybe a classroom or a reading area, something like that. But it was roped off as well. We weren't supposed to go back there. They didn't need it for seating. In that church, there was a man who was 91 years old, and he got saved when he was 9. And he was a godly, godly man. But he had arthritis really bad. He walked with two canes, and it was painful to watch him walk. Every step, you could see the grimace on his face as that arthritis had taken over his body, but he insisted on walking to church. He lived two blocks away, and people said, we'll come get you. Can we give you a ride? No, I walk to church, he said. And he would walk and come in every service. Well, the first service, he walked in, and I noticed him right away, and he didn't pause to shake a lot of hands or talk to folks. He just kind of came in the door, and he went right to the back where that part was under the balcony, where the ropes were, and he undid the rope. And he went back there and sat where you're not supposed to sit. And I kind of chuckled. I thought, that old guy, nobody's telling him where he's sitting. I'm convinced if you put ropes on the front row of most churches, people would move the ropes, come sit on the front row. It's just the way we are. So he went and moved those ropes. He sat back there. But I soon discovered he wasn't sitting back there because he was rebellious. He sat back there because that arthritis was so bad that if he sat still for more than 7 minutes, he would just freeze up. He wasn't going to get out of that chair. So every 7 minutes, he would stand up. And he'd kind of wiggle his legs a little bit. He'd kind of shake his arms out. And then he'd sit back down. Every 7 minutes. I mean, it's almost right to the second. I loved it. I knew exactly how long I'd been preaching by how many times he stood up. One night I was preaching out of John 10. And talking about the shepherd and the sheep. And I paused in the sermon and I said, are you a sheep this evening? Rhetorical question. When you ask a rhetorical question in preaching, you should pause so people can answer it in their mind. I threw that question out there, are you a sheep this evening? And as soon as I did, he's getting up out of his chair. And I thought, now wait a minute, you were just up 30 seconds ago. It hadn't been 7 minutes, sit down. But he started getting out of his chair. And he got out of that chair, and he lifted 1 foot off the ground, and he grabbed one of those canes, and he put it in the air, and he said, or are you a goat? And he sat down. And a few people laughed, and I laughed. Then I noticed some people weren't laughing. I said, sir, I'm glad you said that, not me. I think we got some goats here. Say, Brother Gatch, it may not seem important to you this morning whether you're a sheep or a goat, but it will. For one day he's going to gather before him all the nations, and he will separate them the one from the other as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he will set his sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then he shall say to them on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting punishment. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. It's going to matter whether you're a sheep or whether you're a goat. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Our heads are bowed. Are you a sheep? Don't let this semester end without an answer to that question. If you don't know 100% certain that you are a sheep, that you belong to Jesus Christ, I beg you, don't let this semester end without settling that. As a sheep, we got to filter through a lot of voices today. Some of them are really loud. Some of them are very attractive. But we got to be in tune to the shepherd's voice. Because as a Christian, we want to follow him. He knows us. He loves us. He cares for us. We're his sheep. And where he leads, we follow. Lord, speak to the hearts of each of us today. The voices are loud around us. The voices are charming, trying to pull us away from the shepherd. Lord, I pray that we'd be in tune as never before with the shepherd's voice in these upcoming days. And Lord, if there is someone that does not know you as Lord and Savior, please help them to get that settled. It's not worth it to hope they're a sheep. And so speak to our hearts this morning.